We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in our good friend and from MLB Network, from NFL Network, and BattleBots. Most importantly, he is Chris Rose. Hello, Chris. How are you today?
Good, guys. Jeff, how you feeling?
Hey, how are you, buddy? Doing fine. Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Good.
Just appreciate making sure. That.
All right. We're going to go dealer's choice here. Because Major League Baseball playoffs have started, would you like to start Browns or would you like to start Major League Baseball?
Yeah, we can start baseball. Let's do that.
All right, so exciting game last night. But Jeff and I were talking about, you know, just the overall where it's like if you're sitting here in Cleveland, sometimes it's tough to get engaged in what you're watching when it comes to the playoffs, especially before the World Series. But I think last night's game was one of those exciting games that makes you say, you know what, even if the Indians aren't playing, maybe I should be watching this stuff. Just your thoughts on the playoffs and how they're going to shake out.
Well, if last night's any indication, we're in for a good ride.
Yeah.
In part because most of the bullpens of the playoff teams are gasoline on fire-ish. And one of them that really wasn't supposed to be was the Brewers. But you're asking a lot to have a guy like Josh Hader, as good as he's been since the start of 2018, to get six outs in a playoff game. That's way different than even six outs in a regular season game. And he's been asked to do that more than any other pitcher over the last 2 years. It just goes to show you, man, they grind during these playoff at-bats and they make you work. And he was all over the place to start the bottom of the eighth inning anyway. So to get, I mean, even if he had gotten Soto out and had protected the 3-1 lead, they were going to have to probably go a different direction to somebody who wasn't used to closing in the ninth inning anyway. So I think you're going to see a lot of that throughout playoffs. I think you're going to see closers fail a ton, and I think that's what's going to make it so much fun for people to watch.
Chris, I received an email from a buddy who sends me a lot of stuff, Mark in Tremont, and he said, did you see that eighth inning of the Nationals-Brewers game last night? He said, the whole scenario, two walks, Zimmerman's broken, bat single, Soto's double, drives in three, much more exciting than a three-run homer. I have to admit, a three-run homer would have been exciting there, but that's some of the microcosm stuff of what so many people have talked about this season, that there was real baseball on display in a playoff. I mean, that was good for the game last night all the way around, regardless of which team you were rooting for.
Yeah, and it all got started with a hit-by-pitch that was questionable as to whether or not it hit the bat of Michael Taylor before it hit the hand. Really, I mean, if that's a foul ball and he ends up getting him out, then it's two out, nobody on, and you don't have a rally going. And then all of a sudden, you know, with two outs, Ryan Zimmerman, who's been the face of the Nationals franchise for the last dozen years or so, ends up getting a two-out broken bat hit. And it just keeps going. And Anthony Rendon gets a 3-2 walk. It's just, that's what makes playoff baseball so much fun. And I get it. You know, baseball during the regular season, it's hard to care about an A's-Rays game. But tonight, when that place is jumping and it's more like a college football crowd than anything else, it's going to be worth watching. So take a few hours out of your day, and you don't complain about the pace of play, because last night was 2 hours and 55 minutes, and do you know how many minutes the Nationals led during that game? Nine. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty.
Nine.
You only need to lead for one, right? Hey, turn it to the Indians real quick here, Chris. What's the biggest pressing question of the offseason? Is it trade Lindor, or is it what to do with Kluber, or maybe you have something else?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think they hold a lot of cards in this offseason because they have players that people will want, and they've got to decide which direction they're going. The worst thing you can do is kind of hem and haw. And I think we as fans, here's the thing, as much as we want to see Frankie continue to be an Indian, and we can sit here and say, well, why can't we pay him $240 million? The reality is none of us control that. And they have to sit down, and I'm sure they already have, sat down and tried to figure out what works best for them as an organization. They can still compete. You know, with the young starting pitching they've got, if they make the right moves, they can still compete. And, you know, I believe in those guys. I believe in Chris Antonetti and his crew, and Mike Chernoff to push the right buttons. But they can't get caught like they did at the beginning of last year for 2 months giving at-bats to Leonis Martin and Cargo and Hanley Ramirez. They know that's not going to fly anymore. that they got to figure out which guys they believe in that are young, but first and foremost, what to do with Frankie Lindor. And I hope we get another year, but it wouldn't shock me if we don't.
No kidding. See, that's interesting, yeah. Chris. Is there a right time to trade Frankie other than when you get the best possible return, if you're even going to trade him, and we all kind of assume that they are? Is there a right time? I'm with you. I'd hang on until the last year and then go for it. But what do you think?
Well, listen, they dug themselves a huge hole. You know, they were 11 games back or 11 and a half games back and made it all the way back to where they took the lead at some point. And they kind of faltered down the stretch. It just proves that you can't play 800 baseball for 3 months. It's really hard to do, even if you're a solid team like the Indians were. You know, I think I would probably give it another shot. I just really would. I think that Minnesota's going to undergo some changes. But I think that they also believe that in what they're doing up there and that they're a team that can mash, and if they are able to add another pitcher behind Barrios because Odorizzi's a free agent, that they could be okay. But it's not like they're substantially better than the Indians. So the Indians will have a shot. And once you get in this party, man, you just never know. Weird things happen.
Chris, let me ask you this other question because I'm curious what you hear at MLB Network and what folks over there are saying. So John Sherman takes over Kansas City and leaves the Indians as a minority owner. What effect do you think that has on the Indians?
I said it when it happened. I thought it was pretty big.
Okay.
Because I thought he had a chance to maybe buy the Indians outright if they went that direction. That's what you'd heard about him being a money guy. But he's a Kansas City guy and certainly understand the opportunity to go grab that while you can. So, I had heard at the beginning of the year that you know, it's come out in the media that it wasn't as big, that he didn't have as big an impact. But I had heard differently from other guys. All I can tell you is I just heard differently. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that his influx of cash meant something to that organization. But we'll find out soon.
I wonder, you think they're looking for another guy with an influx of cash, Chris, or are they good to go?
You know, once again, we don't know. We don't see the Dolan's books. But it wouldn't surprise me if they do. Yeah. I mean, if they did it once, it wouldn't surprise me if they did it again. So, you know, I'm not here to throw a wet blanket on everything, but these are realistic questions that have to be answered. And I know that Antonetti and Tito and Chernoff are all talking, it sounds like, later today. So I'll be very curious to see how upfront they are. And they don't have to tell us everything, but, man, I think clarity and certainly helps between a fan base and its team.
Chris, let's switch gears over to the Browns real quick.
Yeah.
Did the real Browns stand up against the Ravens? Is that what we're going to see for the rest of the season?
That was really impressive. You know, the 40-25 wasn't that close. I mean, they beat them to a pulp. And, you know, if I'm a Baltimore fan, I'm worried about that defense moving forward. You'd kind of heard about Earl Thomas in Seattle, that he likes to freelance, and Baltimore's defense is rather complex. I mean, there were a lot of guys running free, a lot of guys, whether it was on run plays or pass plays. So I thought that was great for the Browns to take advantage of that. And it just felt different. It felt more like the 2018 after week 9 Browns, where the offense was moving free and easier. Right? They still have 3 really tough games through this month. Really tough. And I said on the show last week that they had to figure out a way to win 2 of those, 4 games or 5 games through the first 7, whatever it was. I don't know where my math is. I'm really tired today. But I would be okay with 3-4 after 7 games. I know that doesn't sound like, Chris, what are you talking about? But if you look at the last 9 games on the schedule, like, they could easily win 7 of them and be in the conversation to win the division and be a 3 or 4 seed.
Huh. Hey, we were chatting earlier about Bucky Brooks writing a story last week where he graded the quarterbacks in the 2018 draft. And he gave Lamar Jackson an A-, Josh Allen and Baker both a B-, and incompletes for Darnold and for Rosen. Uh-huh. And I don't have a huge problem with those grades, but the thing to me, Chris, even with what we've seen so far, I can't tell you which one of those guys is going to be the best NFL quarterback. I like three or four of them. I'm not crazy about Rosen yet, but man, the other four guys I kind of like.
Well, I kind of feel for Josh Rosen. Right, he went to a team last year that didn't have an offensive line and basically zero weapons outside of Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. The other guys, yeah, it could be a really, really good quarterback class.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You know, Bucky can grade. I like Bucky. He does his homework. He's well-connected. You can give Lamar Jackson an A-minus because to this point he's lost, what, three regular season games and he got his team to the playoffs. And that's the goal. And you can say, well, yeah, you know, he's joined an amazingly stable organization. Well, when you get drafted 32nd, sometimes that's what happens. You know, good teams will find you. That's why it always – maybe it's not most beneficial to be a top five pick as a quarterback because you have so much of a hole to dig out of sometimes. But those are moving target grades, which means that at this point, what do you see? And, I would actually give Baker a B based on what he did last year. And then the beginning of this year, with the exception of last week, has not been good. But I loved what I saw last week. It was much less take the snap, take one read, bounce 8 yards back, and try and make a play. It was much more stand in there, look down the field, keep your eyes downfield, and make a play, and get rid of the ball quicker. And hopefully that's what we'll see, because I think we're going against a pretty good defensive front this Monday night.
Chris, thank you very much. What's your schedule on MLB Network with the playoffs right now?
Yeah, I'm actually on the East Coast. I've got intentional talk today, and then last night I was on MLB Tonight with Millar and Jim Tomei after the wild card game, and that was awesome because your just energy is jumping through your veins. And then Thursday I've got intentional talk early at 2:00, and then MLB Tonight right after the Braves and Cardinals. So flip on over, catch us before the Dodgers and the Nationals do their damage. So this is an awesome time of year.
All right, make sure you're watching Chris Rose, Pride of Cleveland, Northeast Ohio. Chris, we're always big fans. Thanks, man.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
All right, Chris Rose.
Thanks, Chris.
Nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.